Our first reading this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, and can be found on page 693 of your church Bibles in the pews. That's Isaiah 9, 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 1027 of the Pew Bibles. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, with no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone, and a happy Christmas. It's great to be here with you. Now, Christmas is full of traditions. Different families have different traditions. Do you save all of your Christmas presents until after lunch? Well, from the show of hands earlier, it looked like most of you don't, but some families, that's an essential part of Christmas to eke it out right until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Will you all be sitting down to watch the King's speech? Or will you barely have even started lunch by the time the King's speech starts? Different families, different traditions. And it seems like one of the oldest traditions in church families is that the preacher on Christmas Day always has a present to unwrap. So I don't want to break with traditions. And I have not one, but two presents here. And I need two volunteers to help me unwrap. Now, I'm not only going to get people right from the front row. So, Rory, would you like to come out? That would be fantastic. And I can see little Benjamin as well. Benjamin, would you like to come out? Yes? Oh yes, we've got some willing volunteers here. Come on out. So everyone, this is Rory, and this is Benjamin. Are you ready to unwrap? Yep, okay, why are you looking ready? Now, who should we start? Benjamin, I'm going to start with you, is that all right? So, it's always best to start with the largest present, do you think? Yep. I wonder what this could be. Do you think it's a tortoise?
No.
No. Ooh. Okay, do you want to unwrap that, Benjamin? Come and stand here so everyone can see you right in the middle. Yep. Rip it open. Oh, this is a very conservative approach to unwrapping. Okay. Oh, shall I help you? Wow. Ooh. Okay, Benjamin. What is it?
A helmet.
A helmet. Shall I put it on you?
No.
No? Well, this talk requires it. So I'm going to put this on. Does it look good? Yeah? Have a look at everyone. Does it feel good? Yes. A round of applause for Benjamin. It's a good helmet, isn't it? It's a hard helmet. I think it would be quite good to use in sort of dangerous situations. Like if you're rock climbing off, there were rock falls. That is a good helmet. Now, Benjamin, do you want to stand over there? Yep. You can take it off if you want, but I do need it back in a minute. Rory, your turn. Okay, you have the smaller present. Doesn't always mean it's the worst, though. So. What do we have here? A head torch. A head torch. I love torches. I love head torches. And I spent some time, I'm going to help you fit it on you. I spent some time looking online for the biggest and brightest head torch that I could find online. This has 8 modes and 18,000 lumens, which means I don't mind you shining it in their eyes, but don't shine it in mine. In fact, when this arrived the other day, I tried it on in the mirror just to see what it was like. And of course, the light reflected right back into my eyes, and I couldn't see to write my sermon for the next 5 minutes. So, well done, Benjamin and Rory. Fantastic help. Can I have my presents back? Thank you. So, a helmet and a head torch. And I want to use these two things to think about two verses from the two readings that we had earlier. They're up behind me. The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And the message of the angels, they said to the shepherds, "Good news, I bring you good news. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born." And I want to think about two things, use these two things to think about these two verses. And to help us do that, I want to tell you about a film that Ellen and I, that's my wife and I, watched earlier this year called The Rescue. Now, if you were at the carol service just last Sunday, some of you are nodding, you all heard me talk about this, and I want to think about it again this morning. But to think too, just a little bit deeper as we think about this film and the message of Christmas. If you haven't seen the film The Rescue, it's a documentary film, and it's about the true story of the Thai teenage football team. Here they are, behind me actually. Just behind me, please. Yep, there we go. They were called the Wild Boars. And they were trapped with their coach in a cave in northern Thailand in 2018. Even if you haven't seen the film, you may well remember the events went all around the world. There were 12 boys, they were aged 11 to 16, and their 25-year-old coach. And they'd gone into a cave after football practice to explore. Here's the mouth of the cave. It was one of their birthdays. They went into the cave and there was heavy rain and the water in the cave rose quickly and they couldn't get out. They were trapped. They had to retreat further and further into the cave, deeper and deeper. And eventually they ended up 2.5 miles from the mouth of the cave. Here's a diagram, in fact, behind me, just to show you how far into the mountain and deep into the cave they went. They were huddled together on a rock ledge. They had no way of contacting the outside world. Their friends and their family realized they were missing. They contacted the authorities, the government, the army, the Navy SEALs, all got involved. A rescue operation was launched. And they sent in cave divers into the cave, under the waters, through the dark and dangerous tunnels. There were many different tunnels and routes and dead ends, and the divers kept searching. They tried to find the boys, try to reach them so that they could rescue them. And 2.5 miles away, the 12 boys and their coach waited, mainly in the dark. They had some torches, but the battery life was, as you can imagine, dying. They waited for a week. And then one day, under the water, they saw a light. The light of a torch. The light of a diver, a cave diver. A head broke the surface. A light lit up their dark cave. A rescuer had come. This is, in fact, the actual moment recorded on a head cam that they were found as the diver broke the water and shone his light into the cave. So I think you can see why we have unwrapped a helmet and a head torch this morning to help us think about these two Bible verses. Just going to fit this on. Here we go. Now, I'm not going to strap this up because I tried it and I can't talk if I do. So, shall I, where's my wand? It's bright, isn't it? Yep, sorry. Is that off? Yes, good. For the boys in the cave, the head with a helmet and a head torch was good news, great news. A rescuer had come, bringing light, and with that light, the promise of life, fresh hope, and great joy. I'm going to take this off because I can't actually move my head without it falling off. So too, the birth of Jesus. The angel said was good news. Today in the town of David, a savior, that means a rescuer, has been born. And Isaiah said that this savior, this rescuer, meant that on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light had shone. Over the last few years, we have all been through some pretty dark times. 2 years of the pandemic, 2 years of lockdown and lateral flow tests. During the worst of COVID, we kept looking ahead and thinking, is there light at the end of the tunnel? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? And here we are, Christmas 2022, and finally we are mainly, not entirely, but mainly COVID-free. Are we out of the tunnel? Well, not really. The truth is that this world, this year, has seemed just as dark a place as ever before. Maybe even darker. Our world is just as ravaged by war and worry. Our lives are just as hard and painful. For some of us, perhaps, this has been the hardest year. Some particular sorrow or suffering. Our world is a dark place, and we all experience that, even if at different times, different seasons, and in different ways. We experience darkness out there. As we watch it, we experience it in here. But Jesus came for those in the dark. He came to those in the dark. Christmas takes place in the dark, and in the darkness, the light shines on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That light, the light of Christmas, the light of Christ, is not light in the distance. It is light in the darkness. Not light in the distance, light in the darkness. Let me explain that just for a minute or two. The cave divers who rescued the 12 boys in Thailand did not stand at the mouth of the cave and shine their torches in and shout, "Here we are, come out this way." That would have been no good at all. No, to save the boys, they needed to reach them. Here are the two cave divers who led the rescue operation. This is Rick and John. They are British heroes, experts in the obscure and dangerous world of cave diving. And here they are with their helmets and head torches on. They again did not shine their head torches into the mouth of the cave, shining a light in the distance, shouting, "Come on out." No, to save the boys, they needed to reach them physically with their bodies. They needed to swim through the dangerous tunnels until they finally came face to face with those boys waiting in the darkness. It was a difficult and a costly mission. One of the Thai Navy SEAL divers died in those tunnels, trying to bring air cylinders to the boys. He sacrificed his life so that 12 boys and one coach could be rescued. When God planned to rescue the world, rescue people, rescue all people living in darkness under the sentence of death, cut off from him the source of light and life, he did not just shine a great light from heaven and shout, "Hello everyone, I'm up here, come on up." No, he didn't shine his light from a distance. Instead, he sent his light into our darkness. He sent his Son, a savior, a rescuer, into our dark world. He came in a body. He became one of us. To save us, he had to reach us. So he lived among us, a light shining in the darkness. It was a difficult and a costly mission. He came to us. He lived among us. He felt our pain. He endured our sorrows. And of course, he sacrificed his life on the cross to make a way for us to come into the light, to have a relationship with God who is light. And one day, those who follow him will be brought fully and finally into the glorious light of God. There's more to come. Just as the finding of those boys was only half the story, they still had to be brought out through the tunnels. That's another difficult and dangerous mission, an incredible story. Let me read you some words from the very end of the Bible, the penultimate chapter in the book of Revelation. It's a vision of God's restored heaven and earth. And it says this: "The heavenly city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb," that's Jesus, "is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there." No night, no darkness, just the glorious light of God. This is to come. Christmas is not the end of the story. The rescue is not complete. We are waiting. But while we wait, remember that the light of Christmas is not light in the distance, but light in the darkness, in our darkness. So if you're very conscious of the dark this Christmas, darkness out there in the world, darkness within you, despair, disappointment, failure, guilt, pain, whatever, if you know that for all the festive lights and a few festive weeks of Christmas, it doesn't really make any difference to the dark. It will all soon be extinguished. Well, take comfort. Because the true light of Christmas, the light of Christ, bringing the promise of life and fresh hope and great joy, the true light of Christmas is not light in the distance, but light in our darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So we're going to finish by watching and listening to a short poem on the screen behind me. It's called Christmas in Dark Places. It's by someone called Glenn Scrivener. I used to know Glenn at my last church. He's, as you'll hear, an Australian. He grew up celebrating Christmas in Australia in the sun, but he's lived the last 20 years or so over in the UK where Christmases are a little different. So this is called Christmas in Dark Places.
It used to be summer when Christmas came round, neath tall southern skies over sun-scorched ground, with the backyard cricket, the great outdoors, the barbecues, beaches and mangoes galore, the slatherings of sunscreen, the glorious glare and toasting the glow in the warm evening air. It used to be summer when I was young, a golden age in a land far flung, but there came a point I crossed a divide, went up in the world, and summer had died. December is dark now, the nights close in, so we huddle together as kith and as kin. It's winter now, when Christmas rolls round. We celebrate still, though with different surrounds. We mull the wines, strike the matches, light the fires, batten the hatches, gather around the warming beam of family love or a TV screen. So safe inside, no place to go, we toast marshmallows and let it snow. Our summer's gone. If you've been around, you've felt the fall, life's run aground. We've gone up in the world, seen summer die. So what's our hope? The dark defy? Stoke the hearth, retreat indoors, rug up warm with you and yours? The shadow reaches even here. But this is the place for Christmas cheer. It's dark in the Bible when Christmas is spoken, always a bolt from the blue for the broken. It's the valley of shadow, the land of the dead. There's no place in the inn, so he stoops to the shed. He's born to the shameful, bends to the weak, becomes the lowly, the God who can't speak. And yet, what a word, this Savior who comes, our dismal, abysmal depths he plumbs. Through crib and then cross, to compass our life, to carry and conquer our brother in strife. He became what we are, our failures he shouldered, to bring us to his life forever enfolded. He took on our frailty, he took on all comers to turn all our winters to glorious summers. It's Christmas now, whatever the weather. Some soak in the sun, some huddle together. But fair days or foul, our plight he embraces. Real Christmas shines in the darkest of places.
Stand with me. We're going to sing. I'm going to invite the band to come up at this point. We're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let me pray for us. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would shine your light into our dark world, into the dark corners of our lives. We pray that we may know your light shining in the darkness this Christmas time. Amen.